to save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 847-475-1590. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to Mighty House.
All right. Good morning, Chicago. I'm Ron Cowgill, and the Mighty House team is on the air. This is where we discuss all your home improvement issues, from foundation leaks to roof repairs. You have a problem with the house and don't know what to do? You can give us a call, 847-475-1590. Maybe you need to know how to install a tile floor, repair a plumbing problem, replace a switch or an outlet. Give us a call, 847-475-1590. We've got open phones right now, so get your questions in. In the first hour, we'll be taking your phone calls, and we'll have the Mighty House Tip of the Week with Rich Cowgill. In the second hour, we'll be talking to Mr. Floor about how to resurface your concrete, and we may probably get into a little, what are you doing you're with a flooded basement with the floor down there, since we had a little bit of rain this past week. And we'll also, of course, have Clutter Clarity in that second hour with Robbie Earhart. In the third hour, we'll be taking your questions and answering all your emails and, of course, taking your phone calls the entire 3 hours. Mighty House is sponsored by Mr. Floor. For more information, check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Video clips of the show are available at MightyHouse.net. And on our Mighty House YouTube channel. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. Drawing is at the end of the show. So with that...
Now I know why Robbie doesn't rush right in the studio at 10-2.
No. And in all of
it's like
that,
now you're finally starting a show.
Yeah, he gives the phone number, but it's all a blur in there. 847-475-1590.
Yes.
Nice.
Can I say one more thing before we go through our pleasantries?
Go ahead.
Why did I do that?
I don't know why.
Was it Brian or Mike?
There was a request.
Yeah, we had an email this week. Just don't let Robbie do her morning rooster.
That's right.
I can't remember.
I do remember seeing that.
It was actually, I wasn't here last week, and it was, they were waiting for it last week.
Is that what it was?
And I said, why can't I do my morning rooster? And he's like, do whatever you want.
Uh-huh.
So there.
Great.
Fine job.
Thank you. Talk amongst yourselves.
Now, that's it? That you're done?
Mm-hmm.
She's done with the first hour.
Okay.
Now she's going to Facebook.
You got it. I don't play Bejeweled Blitz anymore,
no?
But, you know.
So, it's nice being in the studio, but, yes. You know, I drove into the city yesterday to see Ron, and then obviously drive up here to the studio this morning, and I do forget that Chicago only has two seasons.
Yes.
You know, the Ryan and the extension down to 57, all of the construction, it's crazy. So mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, I want to go that way through the city, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I take 294, a little further out west, come across, I got... Two left lanes closed north and south for miles. I'm like,
right.
I don't think there's a good way. I need a helicopter. It's brutal.
How was it this morning?
Oh, it was fine this morning. I'm more concerned at
going home.
10:30, 11 o'clock going back south when they've got, you know, you got all the tourists getting
right.
caught up in all that.
Right.
I don't think there's a win.
No. Well, there is motorcycle and lane splitting.
Mm. Dangerous.
Yes.
No. Not at all. It is
if I see it coming because I open my door.
Yeah, you're one of those that opens the door.
Yeah. Or 70 miles an hour. My door just opened.
Oops.
No, I don't mind them. I actually don't mind the lane splitting. It makes more sense. If you're on a bike, I mean, they should make the shoulder legal.
Well, no, it's
you
okay.
No, the left shoulder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why not? Go.
Well, the thing, if you're sitting in traffic, somebody behind you is texting, the person in front of you is texting, you're the meat in the sandwich at that point.
Yeah, no,
so
I don't disagree.
When you're sitting in between traffic, that's a lot safer. There's also a study out in California done by the University of Southern California that shows that is actually safer. to be lane splitting. They did done a long-term study out there because that's where I started to learn to ride was out in California, and we did it all the time out there.
Yeah, but probably nobody uses their indicator. You know what I mean? So right. If that helps a whole ton. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't even think they should bother putting them on new cars anymore because just seems like the more valuable the car, the less it gets used.
Well, maybe.
Like, I don't think Range Rovers and Mercedes have them.
No.
I don't think they come with them. It must be an option. And after you hit about $130,000 for a vehicle, you just don't want to spend the $4 for the indicator lever.
Right.
So,
but with the autonomous driving, maybe the computer will start doing it when it realizes you're venturing, from one lane to the next.
There you go. That's not bad.
Have you guys ever been in a car that vibrates when you cross a lane?
Uh-uh.
Yes.
You said yes. Okay. I'm like, which one of you said yes and which one said no?
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
My 1996 pickup doesn't do that.
No.
It's a Florida thing, isn't it?
No, but a lot of the new vehicles have that lane monitoring.
Yeah. How do they do that? How does that technology work?
I'll be honest, I don't know if it's just watching yellow paint, but, like the Hyundai that we got, if you went up another package, the car had 6 cameras on it.
Wow.
I'm like, what are you supposed to do with 6 cameras? I mean, are you really monitoring everything around there? I usually just look out the windshield and check my mirrors.
Exactly. But I was in Florida and was driving a car in Florida, and I think it's a Florida thing.
No, I think so. Most new cars have that.
Because there's...
Well, Florida's scary anyway.
Interesting drivers down there. Let's just say that. And it's so weird because your butt vibrates. It vibrates your butt. Think it would like make a little ding or something, but no, they vibrate your butt.
To wake you up. They think you're sleeping.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, I like the car crash in the mirrors. Like there's somebody to your side, your blind spot monitoring. So here's a good one. Again, the Hyundai. It's the first new car we bought in 100 years, so whatever. But if you don't buy it with the blind spot monitoring,
yep.
If you don't get that package, the mirror has bubbles on it so you can see your blind spot.
Oh, there you go.
Which is how most of us learn to drive, right?
Right.
So I'm like, I'd really rather have the little plastic bubble mirror and put it over that stupid light that keeps lighting up whenever there's a car next to me.
But I like it as a motorcycle rider. I'm coming up alongside of a car, in the other lane. And I can look at that mirror and see that they know I'm there.
Really?
Yeah, because I pay attention. I watch those mirrors because I'll see them light up, and then I'll go, okay, he knows I'm here now.
No, his mirror knows you're there.
No, I'm sorry. His car knows I'm there.
And if he wants to move over, he's not going to use his indicator. He's going to start coming over. His seat's going to, shake his butt a little to tell him he's crossing the line, and there's a bike next to him, but he's still going to hit you.
Do you say indicator, directional, turn signal?
Turn signal.
Yeah. Indicator.
It's an indicator to indicate what you're doing. Turn signal is what everybody does. They come to a full stop, turn it on, and make the right turn. And you're like, like I didn't figure out you were turning by now.
This is the turn signal when you stick your arm out the window.
It's a directional.
So. Crazy stuff.
All right, there's enough car talk for this morning.
Yeah, and apparently we had a lot of solar talk last week.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, with Lisa on. We got way deep in the weeds with the solar stuff, so we'll stay off of that this week, Mike. How's that?
I think we actually even got a compliment where we talked about drainage planes, and the listener was actually happy we got off solar for a while.
Right.
Wow.
I think that was Mike the trucker.
Yeah. He goes, I was never so happy to hear about drainage planes, but he was done with the solar.
That was on the Twitter machine, too, I think.
Yeah. So with that, all that solar, and again, because the ISEA has that raffle for that new Tesla X, and the SBAC is doing their fundraising.
Yes.
So on the newsletter, I have links directly to both. So if you're interested in doing any of that, go to mightyhouse.net, go to the contact page, and sign up for the newsletter, and every week you'll know what's going on or not.
Or not.
And at least you can get those links directly to things so you don't have to hunt for them.
Okay. So... I hear Rich talking, and I look up there.
Yeah.
Is there something wrong with that?
No. No.
I look to the TV where he normally is, but he's to my left.
In studio today.
Yeah. This is excellent.
I sound closer?
Yes, you do. It does. It does sound a lot.
We're better. All in studio in Evanston, so if anybody wants to drive by and say hello.
Or what? You
just
want donuts.
Use your indicator.
You just want the donuts.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yes, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Wow.
So how about this, Nick, we got a little bit of rain this week. There's still some flooding going on, and very interestingly, last week we discussed how to properly build out your basement so that if you did get a flood,
you'd have water but no damage.
You wouldn't do any damage to the structure that you had just got done doing. So we can talk about that maybe here in a little bit when we get back from this. You can also give us a call, 847-475-1590, and we'll tell you how to swap out that sump pump that bailed on you this past weekend.
Yeah.
All right. You are listening to
Mighty House.
Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on it.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on the Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And in the next hour, we will be doing a Mighty House live segment on Facebook with Mr. Floor to discuss the concrete refinishing options that you can do. And so that'll be on Facebook Live in the next hour. You can also follow us on Twitter by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement. And you can give us a call, 847-475-1590. And you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. Okay, so this week, and it's still going on in Lake County, the amount of flooding that is going on is insane. They've got pumps going, sandbagging things. The rivers are over their banks. I was up in Wisconsin yesterday and trying to cut across, go east-west on a bunch of streets off of 41. Couldn't do it. They were all blocked off. You had to go up to 50 and cut across and come back down trying to go over to Twin Lakes. So,
well, how much rain did you get?
7 inches.
In how long?
10 hours.
Ooh. That's a lot.
Yes.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So it wasn't throughout the whole area, but parts of Lake County and up into Wisconsin around Lake Geneva area.
Mm-hmm.
All got that all the way down into Highland Park. It was like a swath of 5 to 7 inches of rain in that 10-hour period.
So, again, we talk about all these things and building codes and whatnot. So, as a rule here, typically found your first floor is 3 feet above centerline of the street. I mean, back in the day before we had to get topos and hire engineers and all that,
yeah,
we'd literally just go shoot a grade in the middle of the street and then go 3 feet higher.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you live in an area that may flood, and I don't care if it's only 100-year floodplain, you know, you start building them higher.
Yeah. And you could see there were a lot of homes that were built that way that when you watched the news last night, you could see that houses were like, you know, had a moat around them.
Right.
And, I mean, that's pretty good.
That's the logic behind it.
Right.
You know, now, it's funny because we actually have to build, the old code was 9 feet above sea level, mm-hmm. first floor line. Now we're at 11 foot.
Okay.
So it changes the property values. You know, if you got an older home that's like 8 foot above sea level, you can't even, you can't get insurance.
And you can't remodel it or anything.
No,
either, right?
No, FEMA limits you on all that. The point is that every time there's a hurricane coming, they go, the expected surge is 12 feet.
Wait.
I'm like, yeah, but we just built everything at 11. So I think we're still kind of missing something here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now, the water damage is brutal. And, you know, it's something because you don't usually get power failure with that.
Right.
And that's the bigger problem because once the water's in, now you need to dehumidify. And if you have no power.
Yeah.
You know,
we had sump pump failures this week. We had power outages that we were dealing with.
Yeah.
Our generator, we were running it around and, you know, hooking people up to at least keep their sump pumps and the refrigerators, the freezer stuff going.
Right.
So we were doing a lot of that. And then there's the one thing I posted up on Facebook is that video. We had already opened up that basement. We were going there that day to close it back up because thought we had it all fixed.
Right.
And you could see where they had, for whatever reason, the previous people that had put that strap on there, they put a strip metal in there, and they drilled in, and they anchored bolts into it.
For what?
I don't know. They went across the crack with one strap of quarter-inch metal, and then they bolted it in.
Oh, so you're talking about a crack in a foundation.
In a crack in a foundation.
You missed something. Like you think, I think you knew what you were talking about,
yes.
But you missed something.
Okay.
So you went to a house, you opened it up because there was a crack in the basement.
Right, and we found the
foundation wall. Okay.
And it hadn't been leaking, so this time we went there, we were going to close it up, but it happened to be raining. And as soon as the guys went down there, it's exactly what we found was, it wasn't leaking from where it had been patched, but where somebody had strapped a piece of metal across there.
Drilled all the way through, put nuts on the other side?
I don't know. But it was just running and dripping out of the right around the bolt. It was just like a stream coming out of
it. Yeah.
So I don't know why somebody would put a strap across, because the crack went from the floor all the way to the ceiling, and then they had one strap holding it across there.
Well, was the wall still there?
Yeah.
Well, it worked. The one strap worked. Two would have been overkill.
Right.
So.
Right. I found that completely humorous.
I remember years ago, though, we built a house in just like west of Orland Park. There's like all that, there's forest preserve out there and all that, and
uh-huh.
kind of wetlands. But we put a house in, and in the foundation, there was water coming in about 4 or 5 feet off the floor. So I chiseled it out. And this was before we had the good epoxies and stuff. I started chiseling it out. The water started spraying.
Whoops.
So we figure there must have been an underground stream or something like that a spring that we must have really hit, and
right.
It was the first house in the cul-de-sac.
And
the water level was dropping every time we built another house. So literally it was like, we get the other four houses built, this will probably stop, and sure enough it did.
Wow, that's amazing.
Just we gave it the lowest point to get to.
Right. So
water's amazing stuff.
If you're building a new house and you're putting in a basement, then you want to run your drain tile on the outside. They'll do that. But run it on the inside. Put the cove in now as you're building it. Put the sump pumps in. There's a piece of cove you put around the perimeter also. So if there is any cracks in the foundation coming down later, that water runs down. It goes into that cove and underneath and into the drain tile. And it keeps it from flooding out your basement.
Yeah, I mean, if I actually built up here, I would still have the cheap asphalt spray sprayed on my foundation. But there's a company out of Canada, Casella Dorkin, and they make a membrane that's plastic, and it's got dimples.
Mm-hmm.
And you nail that up on top of your foundation, and then you protect the top edge of it. But what it does, it's a waterproof membrane that with the dimples, it will not allow to build hydraulic pressure. So what it does, any water gets past it, runs right down to your footing into your drain tile. So your foundation can crack all it wants. You've given the water a chance or a place to go. When you
Correct.
Retrofit, like some of the companies do where they'll cut in and put the perimeter drain tile in, that's great in a way because it manages the water, but the truth of the matter is the water's on the inside where you don't want it.
Right.
You know, but in an existing home, unless you can dig up your whole house.
On the outside.
Which I did.
Yeah.
You know, not many people can, and
right.
I only had it was a raised ranch, so I had a 4-foot basement.
Ah, there you go.
You know what I mean? And I had no landscaping, so we just ran around with a little mini machine and
right.
didn't take all that long.
Right.
But most people can't do that.
Correct.
And that's understandable.
Right. And, you know, with landscaping and stuff like that, it can get to be real expensive to do it from the outside.
Right. And we had no landscaping. I mean, that's when you buy a rundown house. You have to look at those things and you go, ooh, good. There's nothing here to hurt.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
And that was the house I planted all that stuff that
mm-hmm.
Mike Novak was talking about
right.
last week. All the things he named you shouldn't plant.
Right.
I swear it was my whole material list for the landscaping in that house.
It's
like,
all.
Oh, I feel bad.
It's all perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the phones and 847-475-1590. Do you have some flooding this week? You need some help? Give us a call. 847-475-1590. And let's go to Will in Skokie. Hey, Will, you're on Mighty House.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
How you doing?
Good.
Good morning to you, too. We've been having a lot of calls from this stuff, too. I would note to people, and if you want, I'll pass it. I'll put it on the Mighty House website, or Facebook, rather. There's an article I wrote some years ago, How to Keep Your Basement from Flooding and What to Do After It Does.
Sure. Yeah,
and the trick here, the one thing I see is people in this area, for the most part in Chicago, don't understand what a sump pump is. A sump pump is supposed to stop water coming up from a rising water table.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really supposed to stop water that's coming down with rain.
True.
You know, and, you know, the way they build with the exterior drain tiles is they put the drain tile down, then they cover it with a bunch of clay, which means you just stopped up the drain tile.
No, we have to do sock over the pipe. You have to put a sock on a pipe, and then usually we do 2 feet of gravel.
Yep.
If they do it right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What I like to see is the garden membrane, you know, that they use if you want to put down gravel and put the glass, put it on top of that, lay that out, then put your gravel, and then run that on top.
Right.
But the other thing, too, is that builders will sit there and take the window well drains and run them to the drain tiles.
Right.
And in a lot of cases, they'll take the downspout drains and run them to the drain tiles.
Yeah, that's exactly. The bad move.
Or I've even seen in downtown, you know, in the city part, where you have a basement walkout with the drain, and they take it to the drain tile.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they drain it, they either go like about 2 feet away from the house, which means you're just going to undercut your foundation there, or they'll put it into the sewer, and that's no longer allowed. And, you know, take the thing out, take it 6 to 10 feet away from the house. You can put a pop-up drain out there, something, just get it away from the house.
Yep.
And the other thing we're seeing more often now, big developments or strip malls, they're doing a bunch of strip malls up here where I live, and they're requiring them, instead of using asphalt or concrete for the parking lots, they're having them use paver bricks.
Okay.
Because that way they don't have to put in sewers.
Yeah, because then you're providing drainage.
Right. And I'd much rather have the water go into the ground and back to Lake Michigan than to go to the Metropolitan Sanitary District where it has to be, you know, fixed all the time.
Right, and then they have to manage it.
Most all cities now have impervious surface ratios that we can't go over, and I mean, there's, you know, a lot more science that goes into it now than the old days. And you know, I remember growing up in a house that had a full basement, and outside the basement door was a drain, and it would clog up. So we thought, until you'd break the concrete, dig it up, and find out it was a cast iron trap that went nowhere. It was a French drain.
Right.
They only put the cast iron in there so the cap would snap in.
Right.
You know, so a lot of people thinking, you know, it's clogged, and it's like, no, it's a French drain. It's not designed to take the water when you get this much. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing, too, is that there's three ways you flood. Over the top of the foundation, which there's not a lot to do except build your house higher. Through cracks, which, you know, you can seal cracks fairly easily these days, or from a rising water table.
Mm-hmm.
And the sump pump only takes care of the rising water table.
Right.
And
other thing, too, and I mean, I know you would understand this, Will, is a sump pump. I buy a half-horse sump pump, and it says right on the box it'll do 500 gallons an hour, whatever.
Yeah.
Assuming you're not pushing it up 10 feet and across 30 feet. So now, all of a sudden, you know, it has this, you know, nice arch where you pump more water or further distance and higher push, that drops off. So a lot of times people are undersizing their sump pump.
Right. Or what I see is they go out to the big box stores and get those little 12-volt car battery.
The backups?
Pumps, yep.
Which those are supposed to last for maybe 2 hours. So if it's raining and you hear that thing go off, immediately get up, go out, and buy an actual real pump.
Yeah.
I say, you know, get the cast iron kind, go to a plumbing supply store, not the big box stores,
right.
And get two pumps, one on a couple of blocks above the first pump, and then go get yourself 120-volt UPS power supply.
Yep.
And like a Sumco or something like that.
Yep. All right, we got a break here, Will.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
All right, thanks Will. All right, we'll be back with more Water Talk right after this.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
Yeah, I want to find that sad finder. What does it look like?
And a level.
What is a level?
Don't you know what a level is?
Yeah, it's something you advance to in a video game.
It's Mighty House. Call Mighty House now at 847-475-1590 and get all your answers from the experts.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. So, coming up August 5th, it's coming up. We've got a few more weeks here. We are going to have a show completely dedicated to women in construction and...
What?
Yep.
That's coming up August 5th. So, we've got a huge guest list lined up to come in and talk about it. All women in construction and what's going to be going on with that. So tell your friends, tune in.
Tell your friends.
Your daughters. I think it's important for women to understand they can get into this industry and that they can make a difference and have a good career in the construction industry. It's not just for men. So you can check it out. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, no, I think it should be kind of exciting.
Yeah.
So,
especially for you and I.
Yes.
We won't be here.
No, I'll listen to the podcast thing on After Effects.
Yes. Robbie's going to run the show. She's got it. She's got the, we're going to hand her the helm and she's going to drive the bus for 3 hours. And
with a whole cast of help.
Yes. With Lisa Albrecht and Sherry Schultz. Yep.
Deanna. Yeah.
There's a bunch of people.
And you got
coming in.
Allison or.
Yeah, yeah, Allison, she's going to call in. She's okay. Got sailing to go to. So
she's got sailing.
Yes.
So now where I live, what we do is we either go boating or yachting. It really has to do with the length of the boat.
Is that what it is?
Yes. So if you're taking out the small boat, you're going boating. You know, uh-huh. But if it's the big one, you're going yachting.
Ah, of course. Yes.
Yes, I have a friend. They got a 54 and a 27. So, you know, you want to know whether we're going boating or yachting because then I have to wear my Thurston Howell stuff.
Right.
Or can I just wear my shorts? So.
Who's Thurston Howell?
Thurston Howell III. I think I got that right.
Oh, no, you're right on the money.
You don't remember him?
Oh, yeah, she does.
Oh, she don't want to admit to that.
No, that's right. Gilligan.
Nice. All right, so. Back to floodwaters.
Yes.
So this is mostly now obviously had the rain, so the rivers are blowing over their banks, the creeks are blowing over their banks.
At 7 o'clock tonight, they should be peaking in the Gurnee, Libertyville area.
Okay, that's my question.
Uh-huh.
When they said, oh, the river hasn't crested over yet or hasn't peaked yet.
Yes.
How do they know? I don't understand that.
Historical records.
But they can calculate.
Time. Right.
By how much rain did Wisconsin get, and then from that they can calculate how that's all moving towards us.
Right. So like last week and the PGA Tour was in Iowa at the it was Western.
I kind of wonder
Illinois.
Where you're going with this.
Well, what I was saying is if you watch the tournament, the golf course looked beautiful in Sylva. It was in Sylva, Illinois. Anyway, it's the John Deere. But and I've golfed that course. It's beautiful. But there's a river runs through it.
Like I said, where are we going?
There's a river runs through it.
There's a river runs through it. So it was gorgeous looking. Next week, with no rain, it will be underwater because all that water up north is making its way out that way towards the Mississippi and then south. So what happens is everything south of there now will start swelling.
Mm-hmm.
So towns, it could be a beautiful day like today, and you'll have a flash flood. That river can break its banks, and boom, your house is flooding, and you're like, we never got any rain. So everybody downstream has to worry now.
Right. It's exactly what's
going on.
Scary
stuff.
Yeah, that's what's going on. So not only did the Gurnee area get 7 inches, but so did Wisconsin. So they're really, you know, now Gurnee and Libertyville, Mundelein area is dealing with 14 inches of rainwater all of a sudden. So that's really what's going on there. So, you know, okay, so if your basement's flooded, now what are you going to do? You have to go in there. You have to dry it out. You have to pull the carpet out. Vacuum it up, clean it up, try and get out of there, go around the perimeter of your basement, cut that drywall off at least 2 feet up, cut it all out, pull the insulation out if you have it in there. Hopefully you don't. If you've listened to us long enough, you know you don't put fiberglass insulation in the walls in the basement anymore. So cut all of that stuff out, get it out, and then just start setting up fans and blowing it out, dehumidifiers drying that basement out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what needs to be done. And then once you've got it all dried and cleaned up, then you can start moving forward again and trying to solve these problems. If you have a flooded basement and the power's on, make sure you go pull the meter before you go walking down into the basement.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think that you can just walk in there. We had one call that the panel was half buried, so there were circuits that were
underwater.
Some of the circuits were underwater, and some weren't.
Right.
And the ones that weren't underwater were still working. So part of the house was working still because those were the circuits that weren't underwater.
Well, years ago when I did my OSHA training, they showed a video, and it was basically what happens. You can walk in electrified water, and there's a little tester you can buy at a box store, Ace Hardware, whatever, for $6. And you turn it on, and it senses current. You pass it over the water, and it'll beep. Tells you there's the water is electrified. You can actually walk in it, but don't touch a damn thing. Because if you touch something and it's grounded, now the electrified water passes through you to whatever you touch, like a gas pipe or whatever. So then people die that way because they don't realize the water's electrified. You just touch anything metallic, and if it's grounded, it goes right through you, and you're dead. So, yeah, walking in water is, you know, in your house after something like this, you want to make sure the power's off.
Right. So turn off any generators you've got. Pull the meter. Even if, and here's the other thing, let's say the power's out. You go, oh, well, we don't have any power. I'll walk in there anyway. I don't care. You don't know when that ComEd's going to turn that thing back on, you know. And we had one house that we were working on. We got all the extension cords done, all the generators set up. Everything's good. Power comes on for 5 minutes. We start to unplug things. Boom, power went back out. Ended up being out for another 4 hours. So, you know, as they're testing things, as ComEd is, you know, the electric companies are hooking things up. They're finding other faults, and they have to turn it back off.
Right.
So just because you walk down there and there's no power now, pull that meter. If you don't know how to do it, call an electrician. Have that pulled before you go down into that.
Well, and another side of that, just as important, is if you have a portable generator, don't tie it into your panel. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, when you do backup generator systems, you have switching equipment, and what it does is when you lose power, it jumps over, it breaks all the connections from the outside electrical source to just the generator. If you tie a generator into an electric panel, you've run the risk of electrocuting somebody in your own house, but you could actually even power up the transmission lines in the street, and the guys are trying to fix it. So it's a very dangerous thing to do. It seems simple enough. It doesn't seem like a big deal, but when you start feeding it back into the grid.
Yeah, you back feed the grid. So, you know, that's why you'll have a transformer, a switch, that will actually do that for the generator switching. So it'll sense that there's no power coming from ComEd. It'll shut down, start the generator, and then backfeed and then feed those circuits that you've got set up for that generator. So that way you've got a transfer switch that's doing just that. That's what that transfer switch is designed for. Kohler makes them. Generac makes them. There's a Briggs & Stratton one. I can't remember the manufacturer there. But there's four or five different ones. Owens has one. So,
well, I know you do. You install those and all that, and we put them on a lot of houses. So I've got a couple of companies I deal with, and we use the Kohler for probably more than any. But I always kind of laugh when you look in the paper or anything. You always see the ad for this generator's on sale. No, like $3,200. Wow, that's not bad. I go get that. Yeah, no little fine print telling you the $1,000 you need for the switching equipment and all the other stuff that make it work.
Yes,
you know. But they're cool.
Yep. And if you can afford to do a, you know, backup generator system, they're great. You know, the fully automated ones, like I said, with a transfer switch that'll shut off, switch over, start automatically. You don't need to be home. You know, you can buy a great generator and have it sitting in the garage, but if you're at work all day, your basement's still going to flood.
Well, my problem is with a generator, and it's something else you need to think about, is when we talk about it, it's base flood. So you don't just put a concrete pad next to your house and drop your generator there. So, you know, if you're out in Libertyville right now and there's a foot of water around your house, well, your generator's underwater, right? So we actually, everything has to be above base flood. So, you know, we mount a generator, we literally will put it up on the wall 4 or 5 feet off the ground so that, you know, if we get rains or you know, hurricane or whatever. So there's the same difference when it's your house. You know what I mean? If you can get it off the ground any way, shape, or form, then you'll be high and dry.
That makes it easy to service, too, because then you can stand right here, do your oil changes.
Absolutely.
I like that idea.
But one of my companies, the guy's really cool. And like, we have to have him higher than you would normally hear. My guy actually has a custom welding shop make up aluminum frame brackets, you know what I mean, tabletops for him, made for that specific generator. So, I mean, it looks nice. You know it's going to hold it. You know, and like you said, the servicing is beautiful now.
Yeah, because usually we're laying on the ground trying to change the oil or service them or get something fixed on them. That's nice. You just stand right there and take care of it.
Well, yeah, it depends where you're at. I mean, there's places like downtown Naples is only, the street is literally 2 feet above sea level. So I have to build it 11 feet above sea level. So literally in this guy's front yard, his first floor is 9 feet above you.
Wow.
You know what I mean? That's how high it is. And it's just stem wall filled with dirt.
Oh.
Or if you got the money, you can do it. You can put the room under there, like drive under garage,
right?
But it cannot be finished space.
Okay.
So it's amazing when you see some of these monster homes and that whole first floor. Yeah, it's decorative. That's either filled with dirt or it might be a garage.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Well, and if you get a generator, don't plant bushes all the way around it, please, because we can't service it. It also will tend to make the unit overheat because it can't breathe properly.
Yeah.
So keep the bushes away and the plantings. I know they're unsightly. You don't want to look at them, but the reality is it needs that space to breathe and work properly.
So, they're not all that ugly anymore now. The casework on the generators is fairly sleek.
And extremely quiet. It's amazing how quiet they are today.
Yep.
And you need all the weeds taken off your air conditioner units.
Yes, good idea.
Yes, yes. If you've got weeds growing through your air conditioning, you got to pull those off. Same
Why?
Thing with those. Because the fan in there is blowing air through there. That's how it cools. So if you have, it's just like your car radiator. If you packed it full of mud, your car is going to overheat. Same principle with the generator or in what you're talking about, the air conditioning unit outside. If you've got a bunch of weeds and bushes packed right against it, it's going to overheat. It can't do its job. So it needs to be able to breathe properly.
Easiest way to explain it.
Yep. Everybody understands their car radiator overheating. No?
Packed with mud?
Yeah. Well, that's if you're four-wheeling anyway.
Oh, jeez. Right. What is that? Mud bogging?
Mud buggies.
Mud
buggies.
So what's the tip of the week's coming up next? What do we got to look forward to there, Rich?
Well, caulking.
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 We'll be back right after
this.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
Here I come to save the day.
Here they come to save the day. This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Basically, just go to MightyHouse.net. You'll find everything you need right there about the show. You can follow us on Facebook and also on Twitter. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. And Rich does a newsletter deal.
Yeah, and we have it's the Mighty House newsletter.
Yep.
Tells you, you know, what we're going to try to talk about on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, guests we may have in studio. And there's some links on there to some cool stuff. Go to MightyHouse.net, contact page, sign up for the newsletter.
Yep, there's the Tesla Model X raffle that's going off right now with the ISEA. You can sign up there and click through and go there. It's $100 for one ticket, $300 for four tickets, and only 2,500 tickets are going to be sold.
Right.
Drawings in December. There's
and,
no better chance.
And they'll ship it to Florida.
Yeah, anywhere in the country.
Yep.
Lower 48.
Wow.
Yep.
My computer says it's 8:05.
8:05.
Yeah, that's why I thought that we had a long break. I'm like, come on, let's chat. You're like, we don't have time to talk.
I'm
like, come on, we always have time to talk.
No, not now.
8:05.
8:05.
On my computer.
Yeah,
I might
guess
need to update that a little.
Your computer is a little wrong there. You know,
You're a little wrong.
You're a little wrong.
You're a little wrong. What time is it?
It's time for the tip of the week.
7:51:56. Oh, no, 7:51:19.
Yeah.
It can't be 51.
It keeps changing.
Yeah, it is, 7:51.
Really?
Yep. For all of yous out there waking up, you got 10 minutes before 8 o'clock. If you got to be somewhere at 8, you're going to be late. In the meantime.
Not if it's just downstairs.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Or upstairs. Whatever.
Are we ready to go, sir?
Yes.
Maybe. Try to hit a button again.
Okay, Sparky.
That's beautiful. All right, so this week we're going to talk about caulking. So first thing you got to do is ask yourself four questions.
Caulking?
Caulking. Ask yourself, what are you caulking?
A crack.
Is it going to be painted, left alone, or sanded?
Oh, good question.
Now, does it need to be waterproof, or is it an air seal? And how often do you want to redo it?
Never. I want to do it. I want to do the shower once and never do it again.
All right. So if you're caulking on the exterior of your home, let's say wood siding and trim, we need a caulk that's flexible, paintable, and lasts for years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I don't know, the OSI Quad 4.
Oh, that stuff. I love that
Talk about being one and done.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I think Big Orange sells it.
Yes.
But guarantee you every good lumber yard out there has it, and you will be caulking once. And it comes out of the tube like caulk.
Yes.
Not like water, not like, you know, paste. It's great stuff.
And, you know, the latest they have now, too, is you don't have to poke it and poke the seal. Mm-hmm. You know, you cut the tip, and you normally have to poke something in there to pop
the seal. Right.
Now you just squeeze it. It pops on its own.
Nice.
Yeah. It's very cool.
The other nice thing is if you've got a bigger project going and you go to a lumber yard, like their products, actually you can order them in up to, I think it's 30 colors.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got a vinyl siding or, you know, something that you're matching up, or you just painted your hardy siding or, you know, cement siding, you can get a color-matched caulk.
Right.
And that's a beautiful thing. I mean, it just makes life so much better.
From Ohio Sealants.
Yes, OSI. Best stuff. How about interior projects? So, you know, you've got tubs, backsplashes, right?
Uh-huh.
So siliconized caulk is good. It will stick, but it has to be super clean. So when you're doing that, you want to get everything clean and dry, and you want to go over that with maybe a little denatured alcohol prior to caulking and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know about you, Ron, seriously, but the one thing I do not like about silicone caulk, if you need a bead anything bigger than an eighth inch, you know, when you cut that angle on the tip and that little relief so you can run a nice bead, that's fine if you can do it. But if you're the typical homeowner, maybe it's, you know, not the best thing in the world for you, is go get the blue painter's tape, give yourself a nice straight line on the tub, a nice straight line on the wall, go ahead and put that caulk on there, and then use a little Windex on your finger. Don't ask me why, but Windex works well.
Mm-hmm.
Dip your finger in Windex and just rub your finger across that to tool the joint, as we say. You know, wipe it, but leave the tape. Let it dry. Let all that caulk dry 24 hours, and then you come back, peel that tape off nice and careful. You'll have a beautiful caulk line.
You know?
Or you can buy that squeegee I saw on an infomercial once.
Yeah.
The four-sided squeegee?
Yeah.
Hey, why not? It keeps it off your finger, right?
Right.
But it works.
Yep. And then you have to watch. Some of those silicones will skin over really fast.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't caulk the whole shower and then come back and do it. You do one corner at a time.
Right.
You do the left thing, go down the bottom, run your finger across it, clean it up, then do the next section.
Right.
And you got to do it in pieces.
Now, the one that gets me the most is painter's caulk.
Uh-huh.
White caulk for caulking in your trim.
She just moved her mic. That's all.
Oh, I didn't see it. Anyway, but when you're painting in trim, the biggest thing that you can buy them is white latex caulk, and it, you know, it says it's paintable. But most of them are so full.
It says DAP on it, maybe?
Yeah, I'm not going there. But most of them have so much water in them.
Oh, yeah.
You're buying tubes of white water, and what happens is you go and take all that time to caulk everything, and then over the next 3 weeks, it shrinks.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't look like you caulked it. Either it cracks open, or like nail heads, they start showing. So nail heads and that, don't use caulk. Use a wood filler.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But again, go to a Sherwin-Williams, go to a good paint store and buy good painter's caulk.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Time out.
What's wrong with DAP?
Nothing.
So but you laughed at
our buddy Ian.
Uh-huh.
He showed me something a couple weeks ago. You take the tube of caulk, you hold it so the point is away from you, and you shake it down like this.
Yes.
And it gets rid of all the air that's in the end, and it moves it to the top, you know, to the end of the plunger.
Which shakes out a lot of the water.
And it gets all the water out of there, too. So now all your caulk is down at the tip where you can use it, and it works it out a lot better, and it comes out a lot smoother then. So
probably a good tip.
Because
that's the other thing. I always store my caulk pointy end down
mm-hmm.
because the stupid stuff moves over time. Yes, you have to have pointy end down.
What? Pointy end down. You shake it down. What's wrong, Robbie?
Nothing.
Okay. I don't see nothing there. So, and another caulk nobody ever thinks about is a lot of people see the commercials, you know, do-it-yourself tile, or, you know, everybody puts tile on sale, and you think you want to do your shower. Do not grout the inside corners of a shower.
What?
Yes. Thank you.
Do not ever caulk them.
No.
Or grout them.
Grout them.
Because I'm going to go the other way. Yes. The inside corners, you've got two walls where they meet, and those walls will expand and contract a very little bit because it's an interior wall, but they will. And if one wall happens to be an outside wall, it's definitely going to move a little bit more. So that corner always cracks. So, you know, if you caulk it or grout it, it's going to crack. So what we do is we do the fields, as we say. You grout all that, but the inside corners, you buy the color match caulk, sanded or unsanded, depending on the size of it. And you caulk those corners so that it stays flexible and it keeps the water out.
Yes, and it will last longer because now your caulk is inside of between
groove.
The tile. It's in there. It's embedded in there a little bit more.
Why don't I just caulk in between all tiles?
Well, you Technically, you could if you wanted, but that's harder to wash off the face of the tile.
Yeah.
Now, so, the funny thing, too, is you can buy color match caulk, so when everything's dry, it's the exact same color, but you get in the shower, and the grout will darken when it absorbs some water,
mm-hmm.
and the grout will stay the original color. So it's kind of an odd thing, like, you know, you're first doing it, but trust me, just always inside corners and seats, you know, the back edge of a seat, if you have a tiled seat, do not grout those inside corners. Always caulk them.
Yep.
The color match caulk. You'll be much more watertight.
So what do you
it's
do
more better.
When you grout a shower or whatever, and then you wipe down all the, you know, you wipe it all off the mm-hmm. tiles, and then you find out later that you missed a spot like this big, and it's thick with caulk on, with grout on.
Grout.
What do you do? How do
chisel.
No.
No, if you've got a haze, there's a...
Not a haze.
No, she left chunkies on there.
Chunkies.
That's a scraper.
A scraper, a scrubby, you know, one of those Scotch-Brite pads.
We'll talk about it later.
Mr. Floor is coming up next.
Mighty House will return.